All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and get started on the call here. We have got quite a few things to discuss. And if you're on this call, it means you're registered for my training next week in Houston. And if you're not registered, you're on the wrong call. So this is for registrants only. It's a prep call to get you ready to come to the event and to make sure you get the best out of the event. Brian and Lynette, do I have you on the call yet?
Yes. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
There you
go. They're always here.
They're always there. That's Brian and Lynette Wolf. You will be working with them pretty closely at the event because their job is to help you get deals done. Right, Lynette?
Right. Boy, we love closing those deals for you guys. We cannot wait. I mean, we are ecstatic to help you close deals and make money.
Well, Brian and Lynette, why don't you tell them a little bit about who you are so we'll see why you qualify to come and help us, huh?
Yes, we're actually we're in Arizona, and we were so fortunate to meet you, Ron. It's been over 11 years now. Can you believe it?
Wow, time flies, doesn't it?
And you have just, oh, my goodness, you have changed our life forever. Really. I mean, I cannot tell you enough how thankful we are. And how much we love you.
And guys, we started off as realtors. We were both realtors for quite a few years. I was also a mortgage broker. And we thought we knew a lot about real estate. Coming up, I considered myself a smart guy. I graduated summa cum laude from the University of Minnesota. We're from Minnesota. And now we're in Arizona. We went from the coldest to the hottest. So we thought we were doing well. And then we met Ron, and it just opened my eyes up. I realized, you know, that Ron knew a lot more than I did about real estate and investing, and as he does now, Ron is on top of everything. That's a great thing about Ron is, you know, he's so on top of the current market, and he will open your eyes. And guys, this was a life-changing event for us, as it will be for you.
That's right. And like Brian said, we've actually been in real estate and mortgages combined for over 40 years. And we've closed over $95 million worth of real estate transactions. And right now, we are averaging 6 to 8 deals per month. We are transaction engineers, and they call us the king and queen of automation. We're going to talk a lot about automation.
Guys, yeah. Realistically, about how many hours would you say you devote to real estate every month? Because I know you got several things going. And you guys should also know that they are mentors to many of our students as well, and that takes up a lot of their time. So. You got your system, you got your business automated. How many hours do you really spend?
You know what? We average 2 to 3 hours a week.
In real estate?
In real estate.
Okay, well, that's about 1 to 2 hours more than I average. So you'll get there, guys. Keep at it. Keep at it.
And that's a big part of it, guys. We're going to teach you a lot about automation, and that means organizing your systems, getting your systems in place, and delegation. That's a huge thing.
All right. Brian and Lynette, why don't you tell them how important it is that they bring these leads that I'm about to instruct them how to bring, and what's going on every time we do one of these events with these leads that people bring to class?
Oh, my goodness. At this last event, we actually, because students brought in lead sheets, the more lead sheets you bring in, the more the first night, actually on the first day, we start calling your seller leads immediately. You bring in the lead sheets. Ron's going to talk about that in a second. The more lead sheets you bring in, the more money we can make for you. And the awesome thing is we're going to get on the phone the very first night. We're going to call your sellers live. And it's so awesome. You're going to get to hear us negotiating and closing deals, your deals, on the phone. We don't take a cut. So the more lead sheets you bring in, the more potential money you can walk away from going to this event. This last event, Ron, if you remember, we ended up, after the boot camp, we ended up consummating on those pre-negotiated deals. We ended up putting 7 houses under contract. We just got a testimonial letter from Alton, was one of them.
Oh.
And it is just so exciting. I mean, we are just so ecstatic. The more leads you can bring in.
I got that letter right here, Lynette.
Oh, you do?
I'm telling you, this guy's great. Let's see. He went just last month, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He was just at the last Quick Start.
This guy lives out in California, out in Hollywood now, expensive part of California. He has done what? 2 deals?
Yes, he's done 2 deals. And actually, this first deal was one that we negotiated and closed for him at the Quick Start Real Estate School. He was so glad he brought in that property lead sheet. Let me tell you.
Well, tell him. Is that the big deal? Is that the
No, that...
Well, this is the little, well... It's
little, but...
it's not the big deal. It's the one where it was a free and clear seller. He got the home for $108,000. The ARV, $150,000. The house needs repairs.
You're breaking up on Lynette. What was the ARV?
Oh, the ARV is $150,000.
Oh, yeah.
The free and clear house needs no repairs. And we talked to the seller. We negotiated it down. We got $108,000 is what we ended up purchasing the house for. $5,000 down with a note for $103,000 at 5% for 200 months. And the payment is only $670 a month, Ron.
Yeah.
This house, the leased owned buyer is paying $1,295.
So Alton's already paid for his boot camp twice.
Absolutely.
Got the money in hand, I might add. But look at this other deal. This is a killer.
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you about this other deal.
It's complicated, but it's a killer.
Well, you know, really, the thing I love most about this deal is that total profit on this one deal is $492,000. This is the one you were talking about in Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is phenomenal because this deal actually, he sent a letter to an absentee owner with high equity. And it's a property right by Paramount Studios. And what happened was he actually was able to, as is condition, $620,000. Guess how much this house is worth, Ron?
Well, I'm reading it.
Oh, $1.5 million.
It wouldn't be a guess.
The ARV on it is $1.5 million.
Now, to be fair, he's got to do a pretty hefty rehab on it, so he's raising private money to buy it and rehab it.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in it a while. Looks like he's going to be in it probably a year, don't you think?
Yeah, he said 12 months.
But he'll net about $500,000 on it. So.
Yeah, I think it's worth 12 months to make $500,000. So.
It's one of them smoking areas where, you know, the property is at a premium right next to the, what studio was it, Universal or one of them?
This is actually Paramount, next to Paramount Studios.
Yeah.
Next to Hollywood there. It's three blocks away from Paramount Studios in Hollywood.
So... In a nutshell, in less than a month, this guy's put two deals together. One of them will net him $500,000 over the next year, and he's already got several more working. So I brought that up because I wanted you guys to see the importance of bringing leads to the class, as I'm about to describe to you, because you just never know what's going to turn up from them.
That's right, and we went to a lot of events, as many of you probably have, and it just wasn't like this. It wasn't like people doing and closing deals for you at the event. But what do we need? We need the lead sheets. We can't close anything without that. So you'll learn quickly. That's the lifeblood of your business, and okay. We can get you a deal right here.
And you guys should also know that I am bringing Scott with me, my guy who does all of my real estate business for me. In fact, many of you saw him on the simulcast we did today for Axe. If you're on this call right now and you were on my simulcast all day, just punch any button on your phone. I think I can hear it right now. Just punch any button on your phone.
That was awesome, Ron. Oh, my goodness.
Not coming through. I got them all muted out. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I spent the entire day on the phone front of the screen teaching Axe. But you guys are going to get it live out there next week, and you're going to get the Texas version. So let me tell you, first of all, the hotel. The hotel is the Sheraton in Brook Hollow, or Brook something. What is it?
Yes, I have it right here.
Brook Hollow, yeah, okay. So if you guys don't have the address on that, it's 3000 North Loop West, and the phone number is 713-688-0100, 713-688-0100. If you have not got a room there, I strongly suggest you do. Now, if you live in Houston and you're maybe a half an hour away, I know you're not going to get a room there, but... Gosh, guys, you're going to feel a lot better about this event if you're sleeping there because you're hanging around with the people that are there. You're networking. You're going to get a lot of stuff from the attendees because they're going to be from all over. But about 90% of this room is going to be Texans from all over Texas. So if you're not staying there, I strongly suggest you think about it. It's $139 a night, but you don't have to drive to work and get in that Texas traffic. And, guys, we start at 8 o'clock every morning. Every single morning we start at 8 o'clock. So you know what that Houston traffic is like. And it very well may pay you to stay at this hotel even if you are within close driving distance. And if not, most certainly, because I want you there on time every single day. And if you're not there on time the third day, you're going to miss the bus trip because we will not wait on anyone. And that bus leaves at 8 o'clock sharp. So even in the evenings, I can tell you that the first two nights we're going to go till about 7:30. And the third night we're probably going to go to, in fact, this particular event, the third night I'm going to have my lease option Texas expert there, and he's going to do his class on the third evening. So I would not suggest you do make any plans for the evenings at all. We're going to keep you till about 7:30 for the first three nights, and then on the fourth night we'll be through at 5 o'clock on Saturday. That much I can promise you, because my plane leaves shortly thereafter, so we will definitely end on time that night. But again, it's 8 o'clock every single morning, so talk yourself into staying at the hotel, and you can thank me later. Then if you get tired, you can go up and take a nap, and you know you're actually living there. A couple of things. We will start at 8 o'clock sharp on Wednesday morning, so get there in time to register before we start. I am actually a sticker for starting on time, a stickler. I'm, you know, always on time unless somebody's got me K-holed in a corner somewhere, and you're going to find that that's the way we run this event. If I tell you when to start at X time, we're going to start at X time. So that starts right with the first morning at 8 o'clock. You do not have to bring anything with you. Do not bring your courses with you. We will give you a manual when you check in. It's 325 pages long, and it's got a lot of material in it you'll never see anywhere else. So just come prepared with something to write with. And you're probably, of course, you're going to bring your cell phone, and I'm going to allow you to take pictures of any screens that we put up with your cell phone. So obviously, we're not going to have you on your cell phone, but we got no problem with using it as a camera today to take notes, which is kind of what I do in seminars where they allow it.
And, Ron, we'll be collecting the property lead sheets first thing in the morning,
yes.
7 a.m.
Now, what I don't know that I heard you tell them this or not, but, guys, Brian and Lynette and Scott are going to spend the entire first day calling your leads.
They're absolutely
calling them, recalling them, running them down, trying to get them on the telephone and get as many of them as we can called. On that call, they'll determine whether it's a suspect or a prospect, and you guys are setting up a lot of calls for that evening, are you not?
Absolutely. Right. We'll be setting up a ton of, so we can connect with a ton of sellers that very first night, making live seller calls from stage so the students can hear the real deal. It's real exciting.
I'll tell you, that's what a lot of folks say is their best part of the event, because you're actually hearing a live call, and we don't cherry pick these sellers. You don't know what they're going to say. And it's really exciting, actually. It's fun.
Yeah. And then, of course, you're going to spend the next day or two calling them one-on-one and dealing with the ones we could not reach and trying to make as many deals for the students as we can. And then the ones that orally agree to a deal, then you guys and Scott are going to help them make sure that they leave with a contract that's suitable for the particular deal and that they can it gets filled out, so they don't worry about how to fill out that contract. By the way, guys, you may or may not know that I'm going to have John Jackson at this event, and he's going to bring a CD with Texas contracts on it. And so we'll be using Texas contracts for any lease options deals we do. Any deals that we actually purchase, my contracts are fine in Texas as well. So we got you covered there, and these agreements are free to you because of my arrangement with John, in fact.
Yay, that's awesome.
Again, he will be there the whole time, I believe, but he most certainly will be addressing any issues you have with lease options on the third night, which will be Friday night. And he'll make sure you know what you can and cannot do in Texas. And he'll make it crystal clear to you that you absolutely can lease option houses in Texas and collect non-refundable option deposits. And, of course, that's going to be built right into our progress as we go through making these deals happen while we're in class. Because, you guys, I know you want to make sure you comply with Texas law. And about 90% of this room will be Texans. All right, so let's get to these property information sheets so that we are prepared, and you've got 4 or 5 days now to come with as many of these as you can collect, and the more you come with, the more chances you've got of us negotiating a deal for you while you're there. You guys, if you're listening to this and you're a principal, you should have my courses. Some of you just purchased, so you don't have them. They're on their way, and that would be the Pretty House Cash Flow System, the ugly house cash flow system, and the control without ownership, which includes the ACTS. If you have those courses, the first things I want you to listen to are the purple ones. That's the control without ownership. There's 11 CDs in there. If you'll get through those first, that will prepare you for this event if you never get to the green ones and the red ones. If you can, get those, listen to it. If you can't, don't worry about it. We're going to go through it in class. But the more you get into the CDs before you arrive, the better equipped you are when you get there. All right. We're going to go over the property information sheet so you're crystal clear on how to get it prepared. You should have had one emailed to you with your confirmation. If you did not, you can get it in several places. One, it's in your Control Without Ownership course. It's the same one we'll use. Or you can get it at ronlegrand.com/FISBO, F-S-B-O, or it's also posted on our Gold Club site if you're a Gold Club member. You might want to check that out before you come as well, ronsgoldclub.com, because you're all going to be members before you leave. It's just crazy not to, because that's where all of our forms and agreements are housed and numerous other things that I'll personally go over with you. I'm going to teach you how to use many of these membership benefits while you're there, because they're so critical to your performance. The property information sheet is the heartbeat of our business. We can't do much without them. And the more complete they're filled in, the better chance you have of us actually getting you a deal while you're there. And, guys, you will attest, some of the deals that we've gotten for these folks in the last few boot camps have been incredible. I mean, I am really impressed with how many of these we convert while we're in this class.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we finally got a hold of one of the sellers that we were playing phone tag with. I never even told you about this one, Ron. Remember Bill? He was the one where they were going to sell for what's owed, the $180,000. The ARV was $225,000. And the house needed no repairs, and the seller said yes, that they would sell for what's owed, and we were so excited. We finally got a hold of that seller and got that one under contract, and he already has a buyer lined up on it.
Good.
That was Bill, so I never told you about that one. But, yeah, there were so many deals. It's just crazy how many deals we consummated at the quick start.
All right. I'm hoping you have that sheet in front of you right now, but if you don't, just listen up. And, incidentally, if you wish to spend 17 minutes learning how to fill out that sheet properly as well, there is a video at ronlegrand.com, probably on the second page by now, and it's called Virtual Assistant Training. That same video is on the Go Club site under Training. If you'll scan down, it says Virtual Assistant Training. I created that video so that I would teach a virtual assistant how to fill in that sheet and why we need those blanks completed. Probably a good idea for you to watch that video as well. So let's start at the top of that sheet, and you'll notice there are some stars. The first star is, obviously we're going to get the seller's name and the phone number and address of the house, but we need to know what the seller wants for the house, the seller's asking price. Guys, there's only one place we can get that, and that's out of the seller's mouth. I'm going to come back and tell you where to find these sellers and how to determine or how to get us some comps so we'll know what the property's worth. But the first thing I want to know is what they're asking, and right below that you'll see what do they think it's worth. I want to know what the seller thinks the market value of their property is. That gives me an idea where their head's at. Are they asking way more than it's worth? Are they asking less? Are they right on target? You will find some of all of the above. And then I'm going to ask you to go online and pull a couple comps, and you tell me what you think it's worth. I'll come back to that in a minute. Where you see the words your comps, that's for you to fill in those blanks, and that information will not come from your seller. It'll come from you. So recap, I want to know what the seller thinks it's worth. I want to know what the seller's asking price is. If we don't have an asking price, we've got a dead deal. Because we don't have enough information. We must know what the seller is asking. You should not have any problem getting that information. And then right below that, you'll see that there's a square with the loan information in it. You'll see a star out to the left. The most critical information on this sheet, ladies and gentlemen, is that information in that block. where it says loan amount, I must have the loan amount, or a zero for free and clear. I must have a loan amount, or I need a zero. And look out to your right, you'll see it calls for the payment. I must have the payment. We cannot process any deal without the loan amount and the monthly payment. So if you leave those blank and do not tell us what the loan amount is and the monthly payment, we're going nowhere with your lead. And I can tell you right now, it will not get called, because we're going to have our hands full calling the ones that come in complete. So let's just be fair here and tell it like it is. If you don't get the loan amount, you've got a dead lead for us to work. If you don't get the payment, you got the same. Everything we do will be structured around those two numbers. Those two numbers will determine whether we've got a deal or a dud, and whether we want to stay in it or get out of it. So I must have that information. We also need to know what the PITI payment is, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. And I need to know if they're current or in arrears, and if they're in arrears, about how far they are behind. Now, very few of the people that you talk to are going to be in arrears. In fact, it'll be rare when you find one that's behind on their payments, because for the most part, people who are behind on their payments just really don't even advertise their house for sale. Is that true, guys? Are you finding the same thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't want you guys to think that we're dealing with people in foreclosure here, because we're not. We're not dealing with desperate sellers. We're simply dealing with sellers who need to get out and are looking for an exit strategy, because obviously cashing out at retail price hasn't happened with them yet. So we definitely need that blank filled in, that square filled in. So if you come without the loan amount and you come without the payment, it's an incomplete lead. I'm going to say that about six times so it sinks in. And, of course, you know, Lynette, I don't care if I say it 23 times, we're still going to get a bunch of incomplete, aren't we?
That's right.
All right, so, guys, if you will look in your course, you will see a rebuttal in there. And, honestly, I should know what page is on, but I don't. But there's a script in there for you to read to the seller if, in fact, you ask them what they owe and they say it's none of your business. It does happen. And if you read my script and you still can't find out what they owe, we found out what we need. We're not going to work with that seller, because they're not even a bit flexible. You're going to discover that people that want to work with you, you'll have no problem finding out what they owe. They will absolutely, they won't even hesitate to tell you. People who that we're never going to work with are the ones we're having a hard time getting information out of, because they're just not ready to work with us. And our whole game here is we're going to work with the people who want to work with us and let them sift and sort themselves out by the answers they give to the questions that you are going to be asking right now, and shortly your VA will be asking for you. So there's a script in there. Use it to make sure that you do everything you can to get that loan amount, because without it, we're dead in the water, and it's going to go to the incomplete pile. Now, that's not saying you can't get on the telephone after you arrive and call them and get the loan amount and get the payment, but we're only going to call the ones that you've completed before you bring. We're going to have our hands full, aren't we, guys? I mean, it's just a job. In fact, I want you to make these calls before you arrive, so you can see how much torture you're putting your virtual assistants through after you've taken this training and hire a VA. I mean, sometimes you have to call these people 3-4 times just to get them on the telephone. And honestly, I want you to experience that. So right now, you're calling and you're collecting the information. Soon someone will be doing that for you, and then you're only going to deal with the ones that give you the positive answers with the blanks filled in. So got to have that rectangle filled in with a loan amount. The script in your book, incidentally, goes something like, well, it's none of your business. Your reply goes something like, well, listen, I understand your concern, but we buy houses several ways. Sometimes we even pay cash, but I couldn't pay cash unless I knew what you owed, because obviously you don't want me to make you an offer for less than what you owe. Sometimes we take over debt, and sometimes we do lease purchases and owner financing. So in order for me to figure out how the best way I can serve you, we will need the loan amount to determine if there's a reason for us to do business. What do you owe? Again, after that script, if you can't get the loan amount, truthfully, don't even bring it to class. There's nothing we're going to do with it. Yeah, they pre-screen themselves out. But make sure you read that script first. Your virtual assistants won't get that loan amount sometimes simply because the seller says, all right, well, you have your boss or your principal call me and I'll give them the loan amount. That's okay. We can deal with that. That just means that somebody's got to call back before we can even determine whether it's a prospect or a suspect. All right, now skip down there to the middle of that page. You'll see those scripts. If you look at the left side of your page, you'll see it ask, it says, if the loan amount and the asking price are within $35,000, ask the following question. Will you sell for what you owe? Now, please don't misunderstand that little box there. You're only to ask that question, guys and gals, if there's a small gap between the loan amount and the asking price. For example, if I got a $200,000 that the seller says the house is worth $200,000 or the seller's asking $200,000 and the loan is $185,000, you absolutely need to ask that question because you're likely going to buy the property for what they owe. Their big motivation is debt relief, and if there's a small amount of equity in it, they're likely going to give it away just to get out of the house. However, if that same house has got a $200,000 asking price and they owe $100,000 on it and they're asking $190,000 and you ask them, will they sell for what they owe? That's a foolish question. You'll alienate the seller and that'll be the end of your conversation, frankly. So use common sense. We only ask that question when there's a small gap between the asking price and the loan amount. However, you're going to be amazed at how many yes answers that you guys are going to bring to class when that question is asked. I know most people are amazed when they discover that a good percentage of the people that are out there with homes will gladly give them to you and leave the loan in their own name, for that matter, deed you their property just to walk away and get their life back.
Yes, we are constantly amazed at that, and you will hear that on the first night when we do live seller calls.
All right, look in the middle, and you'll see the question. Now, look, you guys, I don't know whether you have if you have the property information sheet with the Texas emblem up in the upper right-hand corner, that's kind of a Texas version, but truthfully, since we found out that we can do lease options in Texas, I would prefer that we go for will they sell with owner financing, which is over on the right, but if not, I want you to ask them the question, well, would you consider a lease purchase? If you look over on the right, it has the, if it's free and clear, it says, would you consider taking your equity in monthly installments? If we get a yes answer to that, folks, we've probably got a seller financing deal. If we get a no answer to it, we don't have a seller financing deal. But if you get a no answer to that question, then we need to go down and ask the lease purchase question right underneath it. And I want that asked in Texas as well. In the past, we didn't do that. Because I didn't think you really could do lease purchases in Texas, but now we can. Just so you'll know, you can lease purchase the property in Texas and collect a non-refundable deposit if and only if you own the house. You cannot do sandwich lease options. So I'm going to work hard to get you to own the house by either taking over debt subject to or buying it with owner financing. Even if there's a debt on it, I'm going to show you how to buy them with owner financing so you actually own them, which frees up your exits to either sell them with owner financing or put a lease option tenant buyer in there.
In Arizona out here, Ron, that's yep. always my first preference anyway, is to own the house.
Well, it's my preference too
yep.
in Florida. So when the math makes sense, we're going to go for ownership. When the math doesn't make sense, we may not want to own it, but control it long enough to get out of it and get a check. And that's called ACTS. So we're going to cover all that in class. So to recap, if the debt is close to the asking, I want to know if they'll sell for what they owe. And then I want you to ask them if they would consider owner financing it. And then I want you to ask them if they would consider lease purchasing it. So get me a yes or a no answer to at least one of those columns. Now, I only need one yes or no. So if you can just get me one yes to any of those questions, I'm happy, and they will get called, and we'll see if we can make a deal for you. Now, if you look beyond that down below, you'll see the bedrooms and the baths and the square footage, and I definitely want the number of bedrooms and the number of baths. I definitely want the square footage right out of the seller's mouth, and if you look way down a little bit, you'll see whether it's vacant or occupied. Please tell us whether it's vacant or occupied. That's important to our decision to determine or at least guess at the motivation from the seller. Also, when do you want to move? You'll see a star beside that. Make sure that's filled in, because obviously if somebody doesn't want to move right away, we're probably going to have a little different line of questions than if they want to get out of there right now. And, you know, if you ask that question, they come back and say as soon as possible, then we know we got somebody that's ready to go and probably a lot easier to do business with. And also notice there's a question to ask, is the house listed? If the house is listed, we must know about it. Quite often, sellers will call you and their house is listed, but they're trying to take matters into their own hand and try to find the buyer. Well, we may be able to work with it even if it's listed, but not until we figure out what we're going to do with the realtor, because the realtor has a house listed. They have an agreement, and we can't just go around them and violate that agreement without creating a lot of problems. So in a nutshell, fill in the blanks and bring the property sheets completed until we get you a VA to do all that front-end work for you, and then that'll free up your time to not have to ever do that again. I'm going to strongly suggest that you bring at least 5 to 10 of these things, and you cannot bring too many, can they, Lynette?
Oh, my goodness, you cannot bring too many. And I just wanted to mention, you were saying where to get the comps in the area. We usually go to eappraisal.com, housevalues.com. You know how you were saying they should get their own comps?
Yep, I'm coming back to that. Yep. Eappraisal or eAppraisal?
No, it's eAppraisal. So it's eAppraisal.com.
That's a good one. Okay.
And housevalues.com. Of course, you have Trulia.com.
I like Trulia once you learn how to use it. It's a little pain in the neck to learn, but once you learn, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, once Trulia. You learn it. RealQuest.com is really nice. It's a small pay service, not much.
Yeah, no, they have to subscribe to that. So don't
subscribe to RealQuest yet.
You may not need it.
Yeah.
And of course, there's Zillow.
Zillow, right.
There's always Zillow. And if you go on these sites, because you might as well get used to them, because you're going to have some kind of a site to pull comps from, unless you're a realtor now. If you're a realtor, of course, you're going to use the MLS. But I'd caution you, FSBO sales are not in the MLS usually, so you're only looking at houses sold with realtors. But just the same, those are good comps. You've got to pick one of these sites between now and then, and then when the seller tells you what they think it's worth, and then when you hang up, if there's any reason for you to even care. In other words, if you get a no, and you got a seller we're not going to work with, there ain't no sense you looking up the value on a house we're never going to buy. The seller says yes to owner financing, or yes to lease purchase, or yes to I'll sell for what I owe. Then you go on one of these sites and you figure out what you think the house is worth based on the properties that have sold that are as close in proximity and as close in square footage as possible. Usually when you go on these sites and you put in the address of the subject, only comps will come up. So you just have to pick the ones that you think are closest to resemble yours. And that's the values you're going to put on that sheet. And John, if you just give me one or two of those, but guys, give me the highest values, not the lowest. In order to get a market value for a property, you got to throw out any bank-owned sales. So all the low sales, just throw them out, ignore them. I'll teach you this on day two, but for now, just do the best you can and give me an idea of what you think the property is worth, and put it up there in that little block. All right, now where are we going to find these sellers? There's actually two or three places where you can go. Number one, there are websites that you go to. In fact, the same websites that you go to look for comps, almost all of them have sellers advertising their houses for sale.
Yep.
Most certainly Zillow, Craigslist. Craigslist is high up on that list. Zillow, Trulia, Postlets.com, I think, has houses for sale.
Yes, they do.
Okay, so just pull up a few sites. Start with Craigslist, and then go to Zillow, and look for houses for sale. I tell you, here's an easier way. You go on Google, and you put in, I want to buy a house in Houston, or wherever you live, or better yet, a burg. If you got a town as big as Houston, you probably want to narrow it down to a smaller town surrounding it if you can, and see what pops up. And here will come several sites, all with places where you can go and get market values of properties. Now, these are also the same sites where you'll be running ads to sell houses when you get ready to sell them. And so you might as well make a list of these ads or these sites. So you pull up these sites and you look for all the properties that are advertised on there by for sale by owners. Some of them will have phone numbers, some of them won't. So if they don't have phone numbers, you're going to have to email them and ask them for the phone number so you can call and get the information. Some of them will want to guide you to a flyer that they put up. That's great, but that is not going to give you what you need to know. So let's be crystal clear here. Do not bring any property information sheets in the class if you have not talked to the seller. We don't want them. We don't want any property information sheets where we don't have the facts that you can only get from the seller's mouth, like the loan balance. They're not going to post their loan balance on the web. So don't try to take the easy way out. You must have communication with the seller, or we don't have anywhere to go from there. Anyway, these sites are full of these properties. Just pull up what you can, make as many calls as you can, fill out as many sheets as you can. You should also be riding around looking for sale by owner signs in front of houses. My friends, these are the number one quality leads you're going to find.
Those are the best.
And when you find these leads, you simply call the number on the sign and fill out the property information sheet. Number one, you know where the neighborhood is for sure. Number two, you know it's for sale or the sign wouldn't be in the front yard. And you're going to discover that a lot of these houses with these signs in the yard, they're not even advertising online. That's the only advertising they do, to stick their sign in their front yard. And I'm telling you, these are the top of the line of the quality of leads you're going to turn up. The bottom of the line on the quality of leads are the ones that are advertising on the Internet. We'll go through all of that in class, but just to give you an idea, our VA service here in Jacksonville calls FSBOs day in and day out. We have 12 people doing nothing but calling FSBOs for our customers, you. And the leads that they call online, the success ratio of getting yes answers is only in the mid-20% range. The leads that you send them that you get by calling from FSBO signs is in the mid-40s right now. We're getting almost a 50% hit ratio on yeses on leads, all leads combined, whereas the ones that are online, we're only getting about a 25 to 30% yes ratio. So that alone gives you an idea of the quality of the leads or the low quality of the leads that are posted online. So it'll behoove you to start looking for FSBO signs now and running ads on those same free sites you're going to find people that are running ads. Your ads are going to say, though, I buy houses. And as ads are in your book, I buy houses, any condition, any area, even over-leveraged, walk away today, your phone number and your email address. And get as many people to contact you as you possibly can. If you were to put that ad on Craigslist tonight, you would probably get calls in the morning on that ad. These are also top quality leads. Leads when people will pick up the telephone and call you that they want to sell their house, you know they have a serious interest in doing just that. So if you will generate these leads, and, well, for now, you're going to be actually taking the information and fill out the property information sheet. In the future, you're going to be taking this information either online or offline, and send them to your virtual assistant to call the sheets for you and then send them back to you. Same with the signs in front of the houses. Pretty soon you're going to be taking your camera out and take a picture of the sign in front of the house and sending it right to your VA and let them do the calling and do the front-end grunt work for you. But for right now, go online, find some leads or find some sellers, look for some signs in the good quality neighborhoods now. Don't go into the crappy war zone, crappy low-end areas, because that's really not where you're going to make the money in the pretty house business. We're going to deal in those areas in the cash business, the junker business, the ugly house business, as I call it, but not in the pretty house. If you live in Houston, I want you $200,000 in value and above. Same with San Antonio, same with Dallas, same with Austin, and way above would be better. I'm telling you, the best deals you're going to find that are going to make you the most money are from $200,000 to $1 million or more in ARV. And you're also going to see that the people who have the higher priced houses are actually way easier to deal with than the people who have the lower houses. And of course, the more dollars you walk in or waller in, the more stick to you. So I suppose I don't have to tell you, it's a lot easier to get a big deposit on a $500,000 house than it is a $100,000 house. So,
and that's why we focus, one of our biggest best farm areas is Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah, where the money is, huh?
Exactly.
All right.
Well, you don't see profits like what Alton has in the smaller areas. You know, I mean, you got to get into the big priced houses to get those really big profits.
Ron, I wanted to mention one quick thing about Alton. When he brought in the property lead sheet, it said, is the house free and clear? And it was yes. Will you consider taking monthly payments for your equity? It was a yes. And that particular deal was a property lead sheet that he brought in that had a yes under the free and clear, which we love, love, love free and clears.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to, I guess Nikki emailed out this letter to everybody who's registered for the Quick Start Real Estate School.
Good. Yeah, I think we did do that today. You're correct. All right. So bring leads. Bring a ton of them. And bring as many of them as you can turn up, and you can't do too many. All right. One thing I did forget a while ago, if you are registered and you want to bring a guest that's a parent, child, spouse, or significant other, you can do that by calling in now. Remember, one guest is free as long as they're in that group. And if you want to bring a second guest, you can call, and it's $500 for that second one. But remember, they got to be parent, child, spouse, significant other, or someone that's in your business. Anybody outside of that group is full price. And if you can't come for some reason, you have to cancel, please do that, because I'm telling you, every seat counts in this event. This is going to be full. We are full. If you can't make it, please call my office and let them know you cannot make it. All right, guys, I'm going to attempt to open this line up now to take some questions. If it is too noisy, that won't last long. So let's see what it's like here. All right. Who's got a question? You can mute yourself out by hitting *6. And then, of course, you got to hit *6 again if you want to ask a question. All right. Anybody got a question?
Hey, Ron, I got a question.
Shoot.
Hey, Ron, I've got a house that I have financing on that I've been renting out. There's nothing to stop me from doing owner financing on a sale of that, is it?
Did you say you own the house?
I own the house. I've got a loan on it, but it's
There's nothing stopping you from doing owner financing on it. You can owner finance it all day long. If you own it, you can do whatever you want to do with it.
Great. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
You can at least purchase it as well. And I'm going to tell you right now, are you in Texas?
Yeah, I'm in Houston.
Personally, I'd rather sell it with owner financing. It's quicker to foreclose on it than it is to evict somebody out of it.
That's what I'm looking at. Yeah. I just went through an eviction with a guy.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it happens.
Yeah. All right. Who else got a question?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Ron, which of these CD sets I need to...
The courses?
Yes.
I'd listen to the purple one, the control without ownership, because honestly, that's about 80% of our business today.
All righty. Thank you.
Welcome. 11 CDs.
Hey, Ron, it's Marty. Got a question?
Yes.
Hey, I have a sub-2 deal, $150,000 house.
Uh-huh.
About $130,000 or $128,000 is owed. The seller's already agreed to sell, give it to me sub-2 for a couple thousand dollars, but they want to stay.
What do you mean for a couple of
basically,
thousand dollars? I wouldn't give them a nickel.
Yes.
If it's only worth $130,000 and you owe $128,000. Take over their debt,
well,
pay their closing costs. I wouldn't give them...
For it's $150,000, right?
Oh, is that what he said?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I thought you said $130,000. All right.
No, there's about $20,000 of equity there.
Okay, I got you.
But they want... they're wanting to buy another house.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if I should just try to get it locked up now and let them stay in the house. And how should I approach that?
So what is your concern? Their debt ratio or that they don't have a place to live?
My concern is just that they'll need time to go get a loan and find a house.
Well,
they
that's
haven't,
not a problem.
I'd
go ahead and buy the house now and just let them continue making payments until they get out of it. What do you got to lose?
Okay. Would I go ahead and record the deed also?
Yes. Yes. If you're closing with an attorney like you should be, you don't have a choice because that attorney is not going to hold that deed off public record.
Okay. So, the seller only had one concern, not about debt ratios, but he was concerned about needing, he had said he spoke with a mortgage broker that told him he might need to have reserve funds.
All right, well,
or
he's
two
got
mortgages.
A bigger problem than that. If you know this person is going to go qualify for a loan, you do not want to buy it subject to. You want to buy it, but you want to do it a wraparound, an AITD on it.
Okay.
Which means you're still buying it for the same price, you're still making the same payment, but now he's got a debt instrument showing that he's collecting a payment to wash out his underlying payment so that his debt ratio don't kill him for qualifying for another loan. And even
okay.
then, he should be told that it might take several months before a lender's going to accept that incoming payment. So
okay.
if this guy wants to get out of this house and immediately go qualify, there's nothing you can do to make that happen. He should be told it might take a while.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Ron.
Yes.
I'm in a mobile home park business. I'm actually shocked that you said what you just said about Texas and lease options, because I was going on previous information you had. This Dodd-Frank scene, is that not a problem anymore? I'd like to sell my mobile homes, a lot of them, and I was told I couldn't do that.
Well, you can do that, but you're confusing Dodd-Frank with lease options. Dodd-Frank has nothing to do with lease options. It has to do with seller financing.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
And then lease options is a whole other can of worms in Texas, but we're going to iron all of that out. And previously, I did not know you could lease option properties and get non-refundable deposits in Texas. Now I do. So, you know, to confess, I've given people bad information because I listened to attorneys who didn't know what they were talking about.
So you're saying I can lease options, but I can't?
As long as you own the property.
Well, that puts a big difference. I mean, you own the property?
You must own the property. I didn't say own it free and clear. I said you must own it.
So just do an assignment?
If you own the property, you can lease purchase it and collect a non-refundable deposit in Texas. That means you can buy it subject to, you can buy it with seller financing, or you can pay cash for it, but you must own it. All right. Anything else tonight? We're going to cover all that.
Yeah, I had one other question.
Yeah.
I've noticed, you know, usually when you go into the more expensive neighborhoods, they all have realtor signs on them. Is there another way to find owner finance other than signs on the lawn?
I just told you how to find them. I
understand that, but I'm just saying there's no owner financing signs on $300,000 or $400,000 houses.
Oh, yes, there are. All over the country. For sale by owner signs everywhere you go. Some areas more, some areas less. And, by the way, just for the record, there's no such thing as a realtor. There's no A in the middle of it.
Thank you.
Realtors hate it when you use that slang.
Well, I actually am a realtor, so I don't know.
Okay. So you're a realtor, huh?
Yeah, I'm a realtor.
Right.
Just a realtor without a license.
You'll find some areas have more FSBO signs than others, but honestly, just go find a few for now, and soon I'm going to train you to get other people out there looking for them anyway. But
okay.
If there's a realtor sign in the front yard, there's no reason for you to call.
Obviously. Okay.
All right, I'm going to take one more before we get off this noisy background call.
I got a
call.
Question.
All right, Ron.
All right, I'll take both of the gentlemen that just spoke up.
This is Lou Quintus.
All right, Lou, I'll take you. Go. Go, Lou.
This is Lou Quintus. I have a question regarding the way to ask the lender information on the form. I want to get existing mortgage information. It's a must-have.
Yes.
First and second mortgage. I don't know this person. I'm calling them to ask them this. How would you handle that?
Well, I actually have already mentioned that. I simply say, what do you owe? Believe it or not, Lou, 95% of the time they'll just give you the answer.
Okay.
And then what's your payment? The people you're going to deal with are not going to have any problem getting that information from. Only in your mind are you going to have a problem. Go make a handful of calls and see if I'm right. If I'm not, be sure and tell me when I get there.
And interest rate and payment too, right?
To be honest with you, I don't care about the interest rate, but I certainly don't care who the lender is. But as I said, I must know what the payment is.
All right, payment and mortgage amount.
Yep, and whether it's PITI and whether it's current or in arrears.
Got it. Thank
All right.
you.
The other gentleman, one more question.
Ron, this is Ed.
Yeah, Ed.
I am curious about bringing in lease sheets that we've already screwed up.
I'll bring them in, Ed.
I've already gone to meet her, and she's changed her mind on the, during the conversation, so I didn't know if it would be...
Bring all of them in, you screwed up. Lynette has this knack about unscrewing your stupid mistakes.
Thanks, John. Well, that's good to know.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what can happen on the telephone when you actually know what you're trying to ask. And I tell you guys, you've got scripts in your manual for anything you want to ask a seller, and you're going to learn when to ask it and what to ask. And frankly, if you can just read the script, most of the words.
I will tell you that one time during live calls, I had a guy hang up on me. I called him back. We turned him right around, and we actually did that deal. So
yeah, we enjoy doing that. So, all right. Anyway, guys, hold on just one second, Free. Just a second. All right. Well, that's going to conclude tonight. If you got any burning questions, you can email them to us, and we'll get you back the answers. But I'm looking forward to coming seeing you next week, as I know the Wolves are, and Scott is as well. Again, we start bright and early, 8 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday. Do not be late. Every minute of that first day is critical information for you, and I don't want you to miss any of it. So looking forward to seeing you next week in Texas. Bring a pile of leads.
Bring a ton of leads. We are so excited to meet you and close your deals.
See you there.
Thank you all. Good night, everybody.